हरिः
ॐ श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
सो फ्राइडे दिस मॉर्निंग इट्स दिस बुक Okay. So page 7. Okay. To hear from Krishna is the real pleasure of the senses. Therefore he is known as Govinda. For by his words, by his teachings, by his instruction, by everything connected with him, he enlivens the senses. Whatever he instructs is from the transcendental platform. And his instructions, being absolute, are non-different from him. Bhagavad Gita can be read or heard many times, but because it gives great pleasure, the more one reads Bhagavad Gita, the more he gets the appetite to read and understand it, and each time he gets new enlightenment. That is the nature of the transcendental message. Similarly, we find the transcendental happiness in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The more we hear and chant the glories of the Lord, the more we become happy. Because it's non-different from him, it's connected to him. So then because that connection, then we see is that's why we're alive. So because we're hearing anything about the Lord, it being non-different from the Lord, we're in touch with the Lord. So that's the whole thing. The whole Vedic system is how to be in touch with the Lord. Now, because it's just like, as we can see, it's that the whole creation is Brahman. Right? Or if you say the whole cosmos, right, is Brahman. Different varieties of Brahman, but Brahman. Right? Now the difficulty comes is that we see this part of Brahman as separate from Brahman. So we don't actually see it as Brahman. We see it as the world that we ourselves can control and enjoy. But the actual point is it's all connected to Krishna. So the Vedic literature is there, it's all from Krishna, it's about Krishna. So you see in connection to Krishna, then everything becomes inspiring. It's not seen in connection to Krishna, then it can be, you know, either boring or otherwise. So,
Mark,
yes?
When we don't get this taste, or when we don't feel it, even though we practice Krishna, means we're not in touch with him?
No, we're in touch, but it's just Rupa Goswami gives the example of sugar when we have jaundice. So it will taste bitter. If jaundice is really bad, it actually tastes bitter. If it's not so bad, you take sugar, it's as if there was no sugar in it. It's not sweet, it's not bitter. Does that make sense? But as the disease goes away, then you start to notice the sweetness. So in other words, if you can taste something, you can taste it sweet. You know, you're not going off your hair standing on end or, you know, stuff like that. But you can actually taste it, then that means the liver is functional. Okay? Is that? So it's the same way as that. That's why then there's the sense of duty. Because we're doing it because we should be doing it. So even though the taste is not there, but if we continue doing, taste comes. So that spontaneous element is there. So even in Vaikuntha, there's the spontaneous element, but that is expressed through following the rules. So that aspect of the spontaneity is not a major aspect. It's there. The scholars, the more advanced levels of devotional service, it's understood. but it's still going to be expressed through rules. Right? So the rules still remain important. So then technically, by our definition, it wouldn't be spontaneous. Because it's not in sweetness, it's in awe and reverence. But the element that they're following the Vaidhi, and they like to follow it because that's what pleases the Lord and that makes them happy, they are on the spontaneous body. So, you know, Garuda likes to carry Krishna around. Not that, you know, he has to do it, it's his duty, and, you know, it's like that. So, quote, therefore, please precisely describe all the activities and pastimes of the personality of Godhead, who is full of self-desire, and who assumes all these activities by his internal potency. Sri Suta Goswami said, self-desire means it's coming from himself, his own, that would be the Icha Shakti, his own desire. It means he would like this to happen, and it does happen.
Acceptance and
problem, same? Yeah, it would be another aspect of the same thing. But it's he wants something, and it's coming from himself, and it's not by the material energy. Right? While for the conditioned living entity, then it's not self-desire, it's actually imposed by the modes of nature. We want to be the controller, the enjoyer, but the point is we can't be. And so then we're offered some options that make it look like we could be. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the thing. In other words, if there's variety, then you feel in control. Does that make sense? So then that's the natural thing, is that the variety that's generated, that will make then you make choices within that. So here, but that's being given by Mahamaya. In the spiritual world, that's given by Yogamaya. But that's based on Krishna's desire. So he is actually the, you know, self-willed person. You know, self-desire. Does that make sense? And everybody else is following. You know, it's the nature. We're comfortable with the nature, it works. But, you know, I mean, the house gets built because the hammer's happy to be a hammer, the shovel's a shovel, you know, the bucket's a bucket. You know, so everything goes nicely. But now if all of those are arguing over who gets to do what and everything like that, then it's going to be a problem. So, Sri Suta Goswami said, the most powerful sage, Maitreya, was a friend of Vyasadeva. Being encouraged and pleased by Vidura's inquiry about transcendental knowledge. Maitreya spoke as follows. In his purport to verse 4, Srila Prabhupada explains that questions and answers are very satisfactorily dealt with when the inquirer is bona fide and the speaker is also authorized. Maitreya is addressed as Bhagavan because he was spiritually far advanced. He was a personal friend of Dwaipayana Vyas, a literary incarnation of the Lord. Maitreya was very pleased with the inquiries of Vidura because they were the inquiries of a bona fide advanced devotee. Thus, Maitreya was encouraged to answer. Then there are discourses on transcendental topics between devotees of equal mentality. The questions and answers are very fruitful and encouraging. Because then, if the qualification is equal, then it works very well. So that's always what you're trying to establish in a relationship, is that equalness. That has to be the common ground. Okay, let's say you have a friend. No, this is still the same. Oh, I mean, what makes the comment? That they both are interested in the absolute truth. Like that. So one wants to hear about it, the other one wants to talk about it. So one is bona fide that they want to hear from authority, and the other one is coming in sampradaya, they are authority. Then that works. Right? So that's the comment. But So that it's of topics about Krishna, that's the oneness. That there's teacher and student, that's the business. Because relationship always has to have the common aspect and have the difference. Because if you're the same, you know, I mean, you can do it, but how often and how long can you hold a conversation with yourself in the mirror? Right? And generally you find it tends to not be that serious. You know, it has a little bit of a comical element to it. You know what I'm saying? But that's the difference, is you're not generally acting just as yourself, so that's the difference. Right? But there's the oneness, because you are yourself, so you have the common ground. The relationship means that you're always going to have what's common and what's different. Right? Because you can't express the common if you're the same. You have to be different. But why would the difference talk to each other or have any interaction unless there was something that was the same? Does that make sense? So therefore, relationship means that these two are going on. So Krishna and his creation are non-different, but they're different. So. Maitreya said, when Kardama left for the forest, Lord Kapila stayed on the strand of the Bindu Sarovar to please his mother, Devahuti. When Kapila, who could show her the ultimate goal of the absolute truth, was sitting leisurely before her, Devahuti remembered the words of Brahma had spoken to her, and she therefore began to question Kapila as follows. Devahuti said, I am very sick of the disturbance caused by my material senses. For because of this sense disturbance, my Lord, I have fallen into the abyss of ignorance. In his purport, Srila Prabhupada elaborates on the correlation between giving up sense gratification and being able to take spiritual instructions. The permanent senses, being contaminated by matter, are not acting properly. Devotional service, therefore, involves freeing the senses from this contamination. When the contamination is completely removed and the senses act in the purity of unalloyed Krishna consciousness, we have reached sad-indriya, or eternal sensory activities. Right. So just like there's sad-dharma, so there's sad-indriya. It means that the senses are actually acting on the eternal platform.
That's devotional service.
Yes. So devotional service being eternal, then everything about it is eternal. So the position is eternal, the activity is eternal, the senses being engaged in is eternal, the result is eternal, the experience of the result is eternal. So everything comes out nice, you know, basically just the way we would like it to be. Unfortunately, we want it to be like that here, you know, separate from Krishna. But as soon as we agree that it'll all be connected to Krishna, then it is like that. So that's the nice thing. You don't actually have to go somewhere else. You don't have to go to the spiritual world to experience it. You just have to engage in devotional service, and then one gets that experience. Eternal sensory activities are called devotional service. Right, the next sentence. Whereas temporary sensory activities are called sense gratification. Right? So that's the thing. When the senses are engaged, if it's for Krishna, it's called devotional service. If it's not for Krishna, it's called sense gratification. It doesn't mean if the senses are engaged, it's sense gratification. Those senses must be engaged. The idea you won't engage the senses, that is not a real position. It doesn't exist. You know, just like merging into the Brahman or becoming Brahman doesn't exist. Right, that there's only Brahman, that doesn't exist. So in the same way, this idea that, oh, if you're engaging, it's sense gratification. They're saying the grihastha's there, he has a nice meal with the family, they've offered it to Krishna, done everything. Oh, this is sense gratification. No, it's not, it's devotional service. You understand? So that's the difficulty, is that this is not understood. And so it's all about the senses. It's not about Krishna. Does that make sense? So the perception is technically material. So they are perceiving something material. But material is perception, not reality. Right? Just like Shishupal. What was his opinion of Krishna? Not good, right? No, he said, you know, you can't even tell what caste he's in, you know, where he's from, what does he do? He doesn't follow the rules, you know, who is this guy? So by his calculation, he doesn't even qualify to, you know, take part in the standard, just regular, ordinary Kshatriya social platform. In his mind, he's just, you know, at best, he's a coward boy. You know? And the fun part is, at best, he is the coward boy. That's the fun part about his insults. If you look at him from the poetic view, right, from the Lakshana Shakti instead of the Abhida Shakti. The Abhida Shakti, it's an insult, but the Lakshana Shakti is praise. Right? But in any case, so he doesn't even see that he fits into human society properly. So is his vision spiritual or material? Material. So what he is talking about is material, because that's what he sees. But in actuality, it's not like that. You know, or Ramachandra Puri. Right? His view of Lord Chaitanya's, you know, in the gross sense gratification, because he's found some ants on the floor, so he must be eating sweets, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So it's a problem. Somebody see this bike riding through the other
one. Is it going to go into
it? I guess it's. Okay. It's free time. Okay.
And our eyes is different of seeing material or spiritual, depend on our own values.
Our own values. Means if we're trying to be the controller and enjoyer, because in here is that I'm finding a fault. This is the rule, you follow the rule. That following the rule, that's what makes devotional service, rather than devotional service is pleasing Krishna. So, the senses are engaged, therefore it's not devotional service. But then, the whole point is then, what would you do if you don't use the senses? How do you perform devotional service? That's the whole thing. You know, it's hard to do things, you can't see it, you don't use your hands, you don't use your voice. You know, you don't hear it, you don't smell it, you don't touch it. You know, I mean, how does this work? Right, son? It may work in like a 60s sci-fi where everything's telepathy or something. But, you know. But otherwise, what's it going to happen? How is anything going to work? But the fun thing is, even though he's doing it by telepathy, where is the result coming? In the sensual world. Otherwise, how do you know he's doing it? You know, then otherwise it's imagination. So that's it. Unless one becomes tired of material sense gratification, there's no opportunity to hear transcendental messages from a person like Kapila. Devahuti expressed that she was tired. Now that her husband had left home, she wanted to get relief by hearing the instructions of Lord Kapila. Footnote 2. Similarly, in the beginning of Brahma Sutras, it is stated, now, therefore, one should inquire about Brahman. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan writes in his commentary. Right, so this is the Tato Brahma Jigyasa, right? In this sutra, the word atta means now. And the word atta. Atta means now, and the word atta means therefore, or attaha means therefore. The sutra means now one should inquire about Brahman. I've heard that there's 15 pages on this atta atta. I mean, we just have a little excerpt here, I think. It doesn't go for 15 pages. But I'm saying in the commentary. Yes, there's like 15 pages just describing what these two words mean. So that's detailed. Atta, now, when a person has properly studied the Vedic literature, understood its meaning, adhered to the principles of Varnashram Dharma, observed the vow of truthfulness, purified his mind and heart, and attained the association of self-realized soul, he is qualified to inquire about Brahman. Good thing we have chanting Hare Krishna. Yes, of course. You didn't notice on the form to join the class, you had to show that you've already accomplished it. Yeah. Okay, so that's now. Right? So what is this now? He can inquire because he studied, he understood, he practiced, he observed truthfulness, purifying the mind, attained the association, the self-realized. Therefore, now he's qualified. Right? Right, and then individuals may think, oh, you know, we just chant, we don't worry about it. You know, it's like, you know, the point is that Prabhupada's made it so simple. So when Prabhupada says something, it's just the straightforward form. And then we'll apply, you know, it's like the example, you sharpen the knife on the tree and then you cut the tree to see if it's sharp. They'll use that principle. Prabhupada's taken an ocean of rules and everything, cut it down to a very simple, straightforward, follow this. Then we apply his principle of you don't need to follow all the rules onto what he's given. Right? And then what do? We pair it back to it gets to the essentials, which is the exact culture that I was living before I joined Krishna consciousness. You know, throwing a few, you know, more late up to date things, if I used to do that before. Yeah. So in this you see, when a person, you know, under the association of a self-realized soul, studies the Vedic literature and tries to apply it, that makes them qualified. Right? So how is this process going to happen? You studied the Vedic literature, but you studied from a self-realized soul. But having studied, now you understand the importance of that self-realized soul. That is the now he's talking about. Because the first now, you're not going to take full advantage. Right? But the second time when you come to the surrender, to, you know, you appreciate the advanced devotees. That's now, that's the now. So yeah. Ataha, therefore. That was the explanation of that word, right? Because material piety brings result of material sense happiness, which is invariably limited and temporary, and because the transcendental form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is realized by the proper attainment of real transcendental knowledge, and which is full of imperishable, limitless bliss, eternity, transcendental knowledge, and all transcendental attributes, brings eternal bliss to the devotee beholder. Therefore, one should renounce all material pious duties for attaining material sense gratification and inquire about Brahman by studying the four chapters of Vedanta Sutra. So in other words, the material, that's not going to give you anything. But by connecting to the Lord and performing devotional service, and everything that you're looking for is there. So therefore, you should take up the study of, you know, he's saying, of Vedanta. And the you know, you could say the essence of Vedanta in its full explanation is Bhagavatam. Right? So basically it says, because the material world can't provide what we're looking for, and only devotional service can, therefore we should study Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? And when should we do that?
Now.
Right? Yeah. So now, in the association of devotees. So that's coming up, I think, a year after next.
On the Vedantas.
Yeah, unless we do the Sandarbhas first and then the Vedantas. Okay. That was 52. Okay. Your lordship is my only means of getting out of this darkest region of ignorance. Because you are my transcendental I, which, by your mercy only, I have attained after many, many births. Srila Prabhupada in his purport explains that this verse is very instructive, since it indicates the relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple. The disciple or conditioned soul is put into this darkest region of ignorance and therefore is entangled in the material existence of sense gratification. Right? So material existence of sense gratification, they go together. But if you're working on a spiritual platform, there's only devotional service. Right? So the spiritual world of devotional service or the material world of sense gratification. It is very difficult to get out of this entanglement and attain freedom. But if one is fortunate enough to get the association of a spiritual master like Kapila Muni or his representative, then by his grace one can be delivered from the mire of ignorance. Right? Because that the ignorance is what then is the catalyst for the other four. Right? You establish ignorance, that's going to then generate the false ego, which is going to generate the attachment, generate hate, and which is going to generate the desire to enjoy. Or at least the false idea that I can enjoy. You know, it's actually possible. Because you have to have some false ego to think I can enjoy. So if you get rid of the ignorance, you actually get rid of the other, all of them. So that happens by the grace of the spiritual master, right? Or the representative of the Lord. Because by that, then you have the transcendental eye by which you actually view things. Otherwise, the tendency is we will view by habit the material world according to our conditioning. Right. Next. Oh, okay, just we're missing A. E. I was thinking Dva Huti, as we say, this is the second Huti or something. Next, Devahuti says that the Lord is not only her eye, but the eye for all people. He is like the sun, destroyer of all darkness. Right? So it's not even just herself, but everybody else. No, because of the fans. I mean, you have that on top of the kids, on top of the kids. It all adds up. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the origin and Supreme Lord of all living entities. You have arisen to disseminate the rays of the sun in order to dissipate the darkness of the ignorance of the universe. Now be pleased, my Lord, to dispel my great delusion. Due to my feeling of false ego, I have been engaged by your Maya and have identified myself with the body and consequent bodily relations. 9 and 10. In his purport to verse 10, Srila Prabhupada describes how a living entity is bound by matter and then released by Krishna's grace. By the grace of the Lord, one is allowed to enjoy this material world. But when one is disgusted with material enjoyment and is frustrated, when one sincerely surrenders under the lotus feet of the Lord, then the Lord is so kind that he frees one from entanglement. Right? So by his grace, you want enjoyment, you get. But then when one's frustrated with that because it doesn't give satisfaction, then by the Lord's grace, you can become freed from it. Right? But there must be that idea that I don't want this. Right? One would say, well, why not? Why doesn't Krishna just take it away? But the point is we made a choice to come here. Right? So why we wouldn't make a choice to reverse that? Right? The arrangement that we're here, Krishna's arranged through his Maya. Right? So if we want to reverse it, then that'll also be arranged by his Maya. Right? The difference will be is one we got here with Mahamaya, we'll get back with Yoga Maya. But we have to want. Because Krishna, because of that independence, he doesn't force it upon us. Right? I mean, our suffering that comes because we're not really enthusiastic about it, but that's coming because we ordered it. Right? We've done the activity that generates whatever comes to us. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's by force. Right? The karma lasts a certain amount of time, you're in the body, you have to leave the body, take birth again. Right? Go through the whole thing. So everything you're forced. You know, you're forced to, you know, enter the womb, to be born, you know, to grow up, you know, to be an adult. You know, each stage you think, you know, if we get over this one, the next will be better. You know, but it's not necessarily, right? Does that make sense? You know, so each stage it gets like that, and then finally that's over, then you die, right? Then, you know, then again it starts. So everything's by force here, by the karma. But it's free will that whether we want to go through this or whether we want to go through this, the process of the spiritual world, which is eternal. So we have to be determined that this is what we want. And if we are, it works nice. So Krishna is just waiting for that, right? That said, the two birds in the tree, the bird's enjoying the fruits of the tree, but when he turns to the other bird, then they both go. Krishna, therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, first of all, surrender, and then I will take charge of you and free you from all reactions of sinful activity. So there must be that surrender. Sinful activities are those activities performed in forgetfulness of our relationship with the Lord. In this material world, activities for material enjoyment, which are considered to be pious, are also sinful. Right? Because even though they're recommended that this is what should do, is it in connection with the relationship with the Lord? If it is, it's pious. If it's not, it's actually sinful. It's just nice sinful. For example, one sometimes gives something in charity to a needy person with a view to getting back the money four times increased. Giving with the purpose of gaining something is called charity in the mode of passion. Everything done here is done in the modes of material nature. And therefore, all activities but service to the Lord are sinful. Right? So that's actually the transcendental view.
Yes.
What's done to please Krishna, that actually is pious. Anything else is not pious. Right? Because underlying, there's always that mundane aspect. Because of sinful activities, we become attracted by the illusion of material attachment. And we think, I am this body. I think of the body as myself and bodily possessions as mine. Devahuti requested Lord Kapila to free her from that entanglement of false identification and false possession. Devahuti continued, I have taken shelter of your lotus feet because you are the only person of whom to take shelter. You are the axe which can cut the tree of material existence. I therefore, right, because it's said that this Krishna in the Gita is saying with the axe of knowledge, then you cut down this tree. So Kapila Muni is the one who's going to explain this knowledge that will cut down the tree. Because up to now, we see that it's always been mentioned that this knowledge that he's giving, that by that you can free yourself from material entanglement. I therefore offer my obeisances unto you, who are the greatest of all transcendentalists. And I inquire from you as to the relationship between man and woman and between matter and spirit. 11. Srila Prabhupada explains the intricacies of the relation between Purusha and Prakriti, or the enjoyer and the enjoyed. Right? So that's the man and woman. So we're talking here is that Purusha and Prakriti, because that's the whole thing, is that we are taking the mood of Purusha instead of the mood of Prakriti. Krishna's Purusha, we're Prakriti, but we're trying to be Purusha. So therefore, then what Prakriti is going to work with us? Not the superior Prakriti, so inferior. Does that make sense? Yeah. Shankya philosophy, as is well known, deals with Prakriti and Purusha. Purusha is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or anyone who imitates the Supreme Personality of Godhead as an enjoyer. And Prakriti means nature. In this material world, material nature is being exploited by the Purushas, or the living entities. The intricacies in the material world of the relationship of the Prakriti and Purusha, or the enjoyed and the enjoyer, is called samsara, or material entanglement. Devahuti wanted to cut the tree of material entanglement, and she found a suitable weapon in Kapila Muni. The tree of material existence is explained in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita as an ashwatha tree, whose root is upwards and whose branches are downwards. It is recommended here that one has to cut the root of this material existential tree with the axe of detachment. Footnote 3. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "It is said that there is an imperishable banyan tree that has its roots upward and its branches down, and whose limbs are the Vedic hymns. Leaves are the Vedic hymns. One who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. The real form of this tree cannot be perceived in this world," right? Because that means it's in the spiritual world. "No one can understand where it ends, where it begins, or where its foundation is. But with determination, one must cut down this strong-rooted tree with the weapon of detachment." So no one can understand how it's working. So it's only by knowledge coming in the part of Para and applying that with detachment to please Krishna, then you can cut the tree. Otherwise, if it's not done in this way, you can't tell. So even the impersonalists in that, they can tell up to a particular degree. You know, so they can temporarily free themselves, but not permanently. So only when that detachment means it's being done to please Krishna, that will get you out. That will cut down the tree. Yes. Then you'll actually be able to perceive the real tree, the original, which is Krishna, and then all his devotees and associates. Like you see, Lord Chaitanya is the trunk, and then the main branches are Nityananda and the Dvaita, and then you have so many other, all the other next ones, and it just keeps going. Like that. Does that make sense? Yes.
And in that case, knowledge for the devotee or impersonalist is the same thing.
Knowledge. The knowledge is the same. It's just how you understand it. Like we see Vedanta Sutra, and we see Achinta Veda Veda Tattva. Right? But the impersonalist, then he'll see just Advaita. Right? But then there's other viewpoints you can have from the Vaishnava standpoint that are bona fide. But it's just they won't have the fullness that generates the sweetness that will come from Achinta Veda Veda Tattva.
But you see the difference between matter and spirit?
It's the same. It means getting out of the material world. Anyone who's properly following this means for the impersonalist and the personalist, it's the same. The difference is once you get out, now there's a difference. Because getting out means you're just situated in the spiritual. But now we then continue the process of devotional service, taking up that mood of the residents of the spiritual world. Then we take up the specific activities of our nature in the spiritual world, then absorbing ourselves in that, then we become a qualified to associate with Krishna, and then we come to the point where that becomes our eternal position. So that's the difference. Is they get up to the stage of mukti, but not to bhava. So when they say Brahmananda, where's the ananda? How are they perceiving? Because existence isn't enough to keep a living entity happy. Krishna can just exist, but energy can't just exist. It has to be dynamic. It has to be living. Does that make sense? Like, let's say you have a battery. It means electricity is there, but can it be perceived? No. It's only when it touches something, then when it moves, then you can see it. Right? But the battery, which is the source of that, that's perceivable. And that's batteries are fine just to sit there. So Krishna is just fine to sit there. But his energy, unless it's manifest, unless it's moving, then only you have all the variety and interaction in it. So, okay, yes. What is the attachment? The attachment involves property and purusha. The living entities are trying to lord it over material nature. Since the conditioned soul takes material nature to be the object of his enjoyment, and he takes the position of the enjoyer, he is therefore called purusha. Goodnote 4. Besides these, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is another superior energy of mind, which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material inferior nature. Right? So, it all comes down to sense gratification means I think I'm the Purusha, and then where I am applying my senses, that's the property. We enjoy it. But when we see Krishna as the Purusha, then we are property that is just assisting in arranging other aspects of property for Krishna's service. So that arrangement is engaging the senses. But it's not about us enjoying the senses. But the point is, because senses are being used, there is happiness. Does that make sense? The living entities in the guises of men and women are trying to enjoy the material energy. Therefore, in one sense, everyone is Purusha, because Purusha means enjoyer, and Prakriti means enjoyed. That's why in the Shastra, it always uses the term he. Because every jiva on the material platform is acting as he. And if they're acting on the transcendental, they're all acting as she. So there's no need to put he or she, as some would like it to be done. Like that. Does that make sense?
That's why Prabhupada sometimes is using the term he or she in his purpose.
Generally, he's always using he. Because that's how all living entities in the material world identify. And because of the body, then that's another thing. So that means then if you're saying no, but he, we're not he, we're she. Meaning from the bodily platform, that means then what's our identity? Can't be transcendental, otherwise we'd say we're all she, but then what's our mood? Purusha Bhav, then we're all he. So therefore it makes perfect sense. Right? But then as soon as we try to take it, no, we take it down to the bodily platform, that means it's he. Because only the he would do that. You know what I'm saying? Right? It's just like, let's say, the girl could wear a suit and pull it off. Can the guy wear a dress? You know? Doesn't really work. Does that make sense? You understand? So that's the whole thing. You can do it one way, but not the other.
Sometimes in Indian twins, there are she and he.
Oh, that's a whole different thing. But they're identifying as women. Oh, those, yeah, that's. I think he was talking about Hijras.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another. Yeah, Shaki Baker in there, that's always. Okay, so one devotee was in Navadvipa. There was something going by, and there was a bell ringing. He went into the temple was there. Something just, you know, went to the darshan, and there's, you know, you can see this sari. You know, whoever's doing the arti is sari. So he figures some lady must be doing the arti. You know, so he's thinking, oh, it must be a home temple or something like that. And then, you know, after you offer, you turn around to offer, then there's this beard. He's kind of, oh. So that's. The living. Okay. In this material world, both the so-called man and so-called woman are imitating the real Purusha. Right? So the whole point is that. So do we want to change that he and she because for so-called men and so-called women? No. That's the whole thing. They're imitating the real Purusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is actually the enjoyer in the transcendental sense. Whereas all others are prakriti. In Bhagavad Gita, matter is analyzed as apara, or inferior nature. Whereas beyond this inferior nature, there's another superior nature, the living entities. Living entities are also prakriti or enjoy. But under the spell of Maya, the living entities are falsely trying to take the position of enjoy. So So this apara means inferior knowledge, right? But if it's connected to the Lord, then it becomes very useful. Now apara that's not connected to the Lord. So technically when we say apara vidya, we mean secondary knowledge that's connected to the Lord, or to paravidya. So you have paravidya. Apara means the secondary knowledge that's connected to para. But if apara is not connected to the Lord, or to the para, it's called avidya. So the point is apara vidya can be engaged in the Lord's service. So when we say yukta vairagya, means we're engaging apara vidya. But if we're engaging avidya, how does that work? By definition, avidya means not connected to the Lord. Okay, verses 12 to 20. In verses 12 to 20, Maitreya reveals the Lord's explanation of the yoga system that gives detachment from matter and attachment to Krishna. Following this system, one should transfer his attachments from matter to sadhus. Maitreya said, after hearing of his mother's uncontaminated desire for transcendental realization, the Lord thanked her within himself for her questions, and thus, his face smiling, he explained the path of the transcendentalists who are interested in self-realization. Verse 12. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the reason for Kapila's smile. You are the mother of me, the Supreme Lord. How can you be in Maya? Anyway, I will teach something to deliver the common people through teaching you. Because otherwise, that basically points out God's mother is never in mind. Yes.
Well, we mentioned previously, he is Vishnu Tattva, Karadama and Devahuti, they are Jiva.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just like Mother Yashoda and Nandababa, they'll be internal potency.
Yeah.
So generally you never get God's mother and father are Vishnu Tattva. You may have seniors, like Advaitacharya.
Yes.
You know, so he's senior. So that's the thing, is that Krishna, you know, the Lord, the Ichashakti is the youngest. Balaram, you know, who's, you know, the Jnanashakti is older than him, and then Vasudeva, in the, you know, is the senior of the three. So it's interesting like that. It's fun. So Nityananda is expanding from Lord Chaitanya, and Advaita is expanding from Nityananda. But it goes that way, as even though Lord Chaitanya is the original, it goes the other way, is that it's Advaitacharya is the eldest. Because that's the fun. You know, you have the living entities, but then they're the mother and father. You know. So that's the fun. Srila Prabhupada elaborates. Devahuti has surrendered her confession of material entanglement and her desire to gain release. Her questions to Lord Kapila are very interesting for persons who are actually trying to get liberation from material entanglement and attain the perfectional stage of human life. Right? So they're interesting who actually want liberation. If they don't want liberation, actually these questions aren't very inspired. Right? Unless one is interested in understanding his spiritual life or his constitutional position, and unless he also feels inconvenience in material existence, his human form of life is spoiled. One who does not care for these transcendental necessities of life and simply engages like an animal in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating has spoiled his life. Lord Kapila was very much satisfied by his mother's questions because the answers stimulate one's desire for liberation from the conditional life of material existence. Such questions are called apavarga vardhanam. Srila Prabhupada discusses apavarga vardhanam in a lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam 325.12, Mumbai, 12th November 1974. So here it is called apavarga vardhanam. How to increase interest in liberation. People have become so dull they do not understand what is the meaning of liberation. Just like animal. If an animal is informed that there is liberation, what will he understand? He will not understand. It is not possible for him. Similarly, at the present moment, the human societies become exactly like animals. They do not know what is meaning of apavarga, or liberation. But time was there when people understood that this human life is meant for apavarga. Apavarga, to cease from the business of papa, bhava, ma. That is called apavarga. Because right? You have pavarga, means you have the kavarga, pavarga, kavarga, kavarga, like this. Means the group of five letters. Right? You know, kaka, kaka, na. Those are the vargas. So pavarga is papa, babha, ma. And then each one of those represents something from the material existence.
Yes.
So even the letters mean something, right? So the alphabet has philosophical significance. So the questions made by Devahuti and the answers which will be given by Kapiladeva, that is apavarga. Vardhanam. That is wanted. This is the instruction of the whole Vedas. Tasyaiva heto prayateta kovida. Footnote 5. Persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for that purposeful end which is not obtainable even by wandering from the topmost planet, Brahmaloka, down to the lowest planet, Patala. As far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in course of time, just as in course of time we attain miseries even though we do not desire them. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.18. So the point is you don't have to separately endeavor for happiness. It will come on its own, just as miseries come on their own. So you just have to perform your duties and try to do everything for Krishna, then when you'll be happy and when you won't be happy, that will come on its own. You don't have to separately worry for that. Yes?
Then in Krishna consciousness, we can be always happy. We don't depend on the outside circumstances.
Yes. But it just means sometimes, so you can say is sometimes the circumstances will be nice, sometimes they won't be nice. But if we're absorbed in Krishna always, then we'll always be happy. Otherwise, then when that moment when we're not, then that's the moment when generally happiness and distress catch us. We're more often distressed than happiness. Okay. Also, it's interesting here. Persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined, right? So that means of persons, Devahuti is intelligent, right? But in comparison with her husband, she'll be less intelligent, right? So anybody who's interested in Krishna consciousness and getting freed from the material existence is intelligent. Does that make sense? So that's why Prabhupada says the women in this movement are not ordinary. Why? Because they're intelligent. Why? Because they want to understand liberation, apavarga. But as we said, it still remains the kind of intelligence you're working with. Does that make sense? That will remain. But one is intelligent using that kind of intelligence. Or let's say one is intelligently using that kind of intelligence. So, yeah. Yes.
This inferior material but superior process. Means the intelligence that they have inherent in their nature is inferior, or the process is
Superior. So that means if the living entity is interested, that's intelligent. The living entity is not interested, that's unintelligent. Mm-hmm. So within intelligent, you have those who may learn by first and second, those who learn just by third. But within unintelligent, you'll also have those who, you know, they learn their ignorance. You know, very well, either by the first or the third. But the point is even in the Vedic conclusion, that knowledge is considered complete when it's brought to the third. Because then you've understood it in theory, and when it's applied, then you see. But then that means that will give you the realization. Right? So it's ideal you learn from hearing, then in application you get realization. But if not, you've heard, so it sounds okay, then you learn from application. You continue applying, then you get realization. So the point is it's always going to come down to application. But it's just a matter of whether the process has started more or less before that. Does that make sense? Something?
Would it be that the application, the difference in application between first class, someone with first class intelligence and third class, would be the things that they, the way they apply it also? I mean, if you're learning by hearing, you'd understand, I don't need to do something that may be cause suffering or cause me to become tangled. Whereas third class intelligence, you might still need to engage in something that you've been told through scripture causes suffering.
Yes.
So
yes.
The
no.
application may be different according to the.
Well, technically, it's the same. Because even you've heard, let's say you've heard not to get involved, then you're applying not getting involved. You understand? So the difference is whether you've understood it from hearing or understood it from doing it.
Either way, you need to apply something.
Yeah, application is there, but it's just a matter of where the learning is starting. Yes, because it's like, let's say, the feminine nature has heard something, so it's considering, but it's only undoing it, then it sees, yes, it's this or that.
Well, it might know with the intelligence that it's not good, but has the emotional need or something rather.
Yes. No, you can
separate
it. Yeah, no, if you throw in the emotional, then that will definitely. Because there's always the thing is, I could get something from, because in theory, I can do so many things and I'll be so happy. But we've heard doing these things won't necessarily make you happy. But there's the concept that I could. So therefore then, by endeavoring in that way, then one sees, though it doesn't generate that. So therefore it's not worth endeavoring. Right? But the point is there has to be an alternative. Since it's you have to do something. So for the feminine nature, there's no use pointing out that something's useless unless you point out what's useful. Because if you get rid of what you considered useful as useless, then you're left with somebody who's quite bitter. Right? Yeah, because then they can't go across for the other. So the point is one is given up by the other. Yes, but the point is that's not necessary. In other words, being Atmarama is not technically a necessary step.
It can be used.
If that's the kind of step, then it's used. But technically, Paramahamsa is better. So you go from gross materialist to Paramahamsa, better. So instead of going from gross materialist to Atmarama to Paramahamsa. You know, it's just. So that's the thing. Each has its advantage, each has its disadvantage. That's I mean, you know, that's the way everything's designed. Is that
what it is? Yes. Yeah, it is said that persons who are intelligent and philosophically inclined. So when a person is not inclined philosophically, it's a handicap for spiritual life.
It's a handicap. In other words, they have intelligence, but they tend to use it for other things, practical things and this and that. So if that's engaged in Krishna service, then by devotional service, jnana and vairag will come.
Yes.
So if they have that faith and commitment to Guru and Krishna, then the knowledge that they would gain through, the philosophical study they'll gain.
Yes.
But they have to be able to be fixed there. But what you have to be careful of is that if you're not fixed there, you know what I'm saying, then you may get distracted. So that's why it's good to have the philosophical background so that it's not so easy to get distracted.
Is there someone like that that's more simple and might not be philosophically inclined but has a very surrendered attitude, the association would be...
It'll work. The point is to be engaged. But it's not that they're averse to philosophy, it's just that they may not absorb themselves or be so technical. But you can also have those who are intelligent, but not interested in philosophy because they don't see the practicality of it. You know, to them it's just theory. Right? Does that make sense? For Apavarga, everyone should try. Everyone should try his best. Quote. And what about my maintenance? End quote. You should try for this. Well, what about my maintenance? Right. So, as you're saying, they've been around since time immemorial. These are not new. So devotees are saying, the devotee. No, everybody says it. The Hindus say it. They've all been saying. It's always. To maintenance, the Shastra never gives any stress. That, quote, you try for maintenance, end quote. The Shastra says, it will come. It is already there. It will come, end quote. But we have no such faith that, quote, God has given food to the animals, to the birds, to the beasts, to the trees, everyone. Why he shall not give me? Let me engage my time for Apavarga. Right? So we think, no, I have to do. You know, because everybody's thinking like that, so you say, no, I'm just being real. No, you're just doing what everybody else has done. You know what I'm saying? So you're actually being unique and different when you follow the Vedic culture. When you don't follow it, then you're just doing what everybody else has done. Does that make sense? You know, that's always interesting.
Yeah. I think the problem also in this kind of inquiry is that we want more than we deserve, actually.
That's
and then we are unsatisfied because basics are always there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then for extra we have to. Yeah. That's the word.
Yeah, so that means we were just reading about lust, anger, and greed. So it's the greed part that's the problem. Well, I mean, the lust, you may be enthusiastic about it, you know, you're happy, you know, the lust is there, you're very inspired about your, you know, your square of lasagna, but greed, you want the whole tray, you know, that's the problem. Right. You're not going to get the whole tray because everybody else wants their square also. Is that... So next time, cook two trays.
One is for you.
Yeah, one is for you, and the other one you bring out. Yes, I'm going to take it.
Will you take that? No, it's
okay. Yes. So that's the point. You just do your duties. In other words, you're just doing your duties to please Krishna. Like Arjuna is fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra not to win the war, but to please Krishna. So he is a Kshatriya, is doing his duty the best he can. Right? The best he can. And so then in doing that, then he wins the war. So that's the whole point, is that the secondary you don't have to focus on. It will come on its own. You have to focus on the primary. Because the primary includes the secondary. Does that make sense? You know, so it'll work. But otherwise, you focus on the secondary, then there's a problem.
You forget the primary.
Yeah, you forget the primary. Sometimes I'm thinking of a sandwich, and then I understood it depends upon where you're from. Right? Isn't it? Like in Europe, it's about the bread, and then you put something to flavor and add the nutrition. In America, it's about what's between the bread. It's not that.
Maharaj, when you concentrate on the primary, should you also define your secondary to Krishna's right now?
You just want him to know, just in case he gets down. So the 1 kilo of gold ornaments is secondary, but you know, 1 kilo is about the right secondary.
Huh? This is the primary.
My assistant primary. Yes. That's the primary. Sorry. Right?
Keeps us inspired.
Yes. Yeah, keeps us inspired in primary. No, that's why it's according to nature. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Like, if he was worried about 1 kilo of ornaments for himself, then you might think something's strange. Yeah. Does that make sense? So it's according to nature.
No need to tell.
Krishna understands this thing. Like that, because it's obvious, and because the point is the primary is being expressed through the secondary. Right? No, the point is you want to dress nicely for Krishna when you go to see him at the temple and everything like that. Therefore, the need of the secondary. Yeah. So you just have to know what's there. Or you're just engaging your nature in Krishna's service, so these are aspects of that. So you do those all according to tradition and use them in ways that would be traditionally used. Then that makes the culture work very nicely. Then Krishna's happy. So as you go to the temple, you dress nicely so Krishna will be happy. You know, you're not trying to outdo the other ladies. That will happen automatically. You don't have to separately endeavor for that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. They have no faith. They have no such education. Therefore, good association is required. It's just like, everybody's going to work their 8 hours a day. Someone's putting in 12 hours. Is he a billionaire? No. He may have a little bit more than everybody else, but at the same time, he has other problems because of that. You know, he's tired, his health, you know, the family, the this, the that. You know, so it's not that he's getting any more. He's still in the same social class. You know, it's not like he does his 8 hours and then he's, you know, lower middle class and he puts in 12 hours and now he's, you know, rich. You know, puts in 16 and he's a billionaire. You know, no, it doesn't work like that. Therefore, good association is required. Not the crow's association, but swan's association. Then this sense comes. So we see again and again, it's always coming back to association. It's all about association. So that's why it's the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Right? It's about devotees coming together, associating. The Personality of Godhead answers. The yoga system which relates to the Lord and the individual soul, right, which is meant for the ultimate benefit of the living entity, and which causes detachment from all happiness and distress in the material world, is the highest yoga system, right? So, which relates to the Lord and the individual soul, so Purusha and Prakriti. Right? So that's there because that's for the ultimate benefit of the living entity. The living entity stops thinking he's the Purusha, right? Which causes detachment from all happiness and distress in the material world, because you have to become detached from the happiness also. Yes. You know, we're generally quite enthusiastic to get rid of the distress, but it's also we're not attached to the happiness. So that's why you're not trying to get rid of it. Yes. Right? You're not trying to get rid of the happiness, so you're not trying to get rid of the distress. You perform your duties, and those duties will take care of removing distress and generating happiness, but that's not what we're working for. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's not that happiness and distress are there. It's that our attachment to it, that's the problem. So we're attached to being happy and attached to not being distressed.
Yes.
But we have to give up the attachment to both. Yes.
In the modern society, they're really always trying to relieve distress.
Yes.
recently I had such a stress, and I was thinking, you know, that in the modern society, someone might want to give me medication. But if I don't experience this, I won't have experienced that suffering. You know, I mentioned experience as well. Because they avoid it, they end up with so much more suffering in the end.
Yes, yes.
Like taking medication or taking intoxication.
Yes, yes. Yes. No, it never works out. Even you try harder for happiness, you always end up, because there's so much anxiety, you need to relax from that. So that relaxing, that eats up all your benefit anyway. You know? It's just like it's a common principle where you have these big kind of, like, I'm not sure, but let's say like mining and these other kind of things like that, where people aren't at home. They live there. Then, you know, they get paid once a week, right? So they work there. They live in the corporation gives, or whatever it is, gives the facilities, this and that. They pay them once a week. But somehow or another, on the day that they're paid, there's also liquor shops and these kinds of things that are open on that day. They're not open any other day, right? Because they're not meant for that. They're just meant to get the money back that you just paid them. So the company owns those, and then, but it appears as if they're not, but then they just get the money back. Because working there is so much distress to get the money that then they spend it all. Mm-hmm. You know? So that's the problem with the greed and these things, is that you don't come in. I saw one article a long time ago. I think it goes on, but it was I think back in the 90s. It was about a mine in, I think it's in, I can't remember, in Central, I think, South America. It's a mine for gold. But it's way out in the middle of nowhere, so there's no machines. So people, men go there and dig the thing and carry the mud, and it goes through, they put it through the stuff and then sift it and everything like that. But to get it to where it is, they have to get it and pick it up and move it. And I think one of the persons that was there, then his comment was, men come in, but no men leave. You know, meaning, one, they got rich, but he says when they do go out, they're not men anymore. They turned into animals. You know, because they're so greedy and so like that, they don't, you know, and they're dealing with each other, and, you know, it just turns into animals. Like that. So that's the whole thing, is that you try for more, you get less. Therefore, the saying, more for less. Yes.
You say about giving up attachment for happiness or distress by doing our duty. Duty means spiritual duty and material duty.
Means whatever is your position. If you can function just on spiritual duty, that's fine. Just like Prabhupada opened temples where you could come in, live there, and just full-time just do service and not worry about anything. It's available. But the difficulty comes is when people want to do that and want more. Then the temple can't give more. The temple can only give basics. You want more, you have to get. You know what I'm saying? So it is there, but then you have to not worry about it. Right? The same time is then, for one who wants to do his duties, besides that also, it's just by doing those duties he's going to get whatever comes. Like that. So he performs his spiritual duties, he performs his material duties, and then everything spiritual and material is taken care of. But the same principle applies. So it's not that this applies to a full-time devotee but not to a part-time devotee, or a temple devotee and not a community devotee. No, the same principle applies to everyone. It's the same function, it doesn't change. Does that make sense? That's the beauty of it. The same discussion is for the neophyte and for the Paramahamsa. There's no difference. Like, we're reading Bhagavatam, the Paramahamsas get one thing from it, we get something else from it. Right? Is that... The personality of... let me just grab that. Almost pious mother. I shall now explain unto you the ancient yoga system, which I explained formerly to the great sages, such as Narada. It is serviceable and practical in every way. So he's pointing out is that this is very practical and can be used, right? Because one, it can't be theory. One is that she as a woman is not going to, you know, what's the importance of it? And two is most of society won't be able to use it either, because unless it's practical like that, they're not going to be interested in the first place. Right? Just from that conditioned side. Because spiritual life is always practical. But they want to see that it works on all these levels. Otherwise the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras are just automatically not going to be interested. Right? So therefore it's serviceable and practical in every way. So it's not as practical and serviceable in this way and not in that way. So we've already been saying is that the Shastra is Krishna. So therefore it's always applicable. And he'll get more into that as we go. I think I mentioned it before, but I think it's coming up. He's just going to say is that there is no such thing as not following what he says. It's just, it means you can try, but that's called whimsical, and then the material energy, you know, starts up the rugby match. Like that. And somehow or another, we're always on the bottom of the scrum, right, you know. And she has really good cleats, right? She knows really how to use them. So it works out. 13 to 14. In this purport to verse 14, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes that even the Supreme Lord does not manufacture a new system of yoga. Here we find that although Kapila Muni is the Lord himself and is capable of manufacturing a new doctrine for his mother, he nevertheless says, I shall just explain the ancient system which I once explained to the great sages, because they were also anxious to hear about it. Right? Because what's perfect, why do you have to make something new? Right, if it's already perfect, why make something else? Does that make sense? Like it's a DOP? You know DOP?
No.
You see it on bottles of olive oil or different things like that. It means that it's actually done according to the bona fide process that they've been doing for hundreds of years. You know, or you have like the restaurant, they only serve like, I think, margaritas or stuff like that. It's the original, you know, so there's no need to change the margarita because it's already good, right? You can do other things, but it doesn't mean the margarita's not still good. Is that what you mean? Yeah, so it's just where you have tradition, you don't need to change it. You know, it's just like you're cutting wood for the fire, right? So you have the bigger block of wood, and you have a small block of wood. You put the small one on top of the big one, right? And then you hit it with the sharp side of an axe. It works. People have been doing it for thousands of years. You don't need to change it. You don't have to do something different. Put the small one on the bottom, put the big one on the top, and then whack it with the side of the axe, or turn the axe around, hold the other side, and hit it with the handle. Or, you know what I'm saying? It's just not necessary. When we have a super excellent process already present in Vedic scriptures, there's no need to concoct a new system to mislead the innocent public. Because otherwise sometimes, oh, but that's all, we can't apply that in the modern system, we have to create something new. No, you don't. You just have to understand what's there. So someone who says that means they don't actually understand what they have. It's something that's eternal, you know. At present, it has become a fashion to reject the standard system and present something bogus in the name of a newly invented process of yoga. Right? So hopefully we're generally applying this to the so-called followers of the Vedic culture. Right? But, you know, yes, it can be used wherever, where the shoe fits, then it should be worn, right? The stage in which the consciousness of the living entity is attracted by the three modes of material nature is called conditional life. Right? So if you're attracted by the modes, you're conditioned. You're not attracted, you're liberated. But when that same consciousness is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is situated in the consciousness of liberation. Now he explains how that works. It's not that you're attached to the modes, you're detached from the modes. It's actually you're attached to the modes, you're attached to Krishna. Right? Because technically those who are not attached to the modes and not attached to Krishna are still technically attached to the modes. They're attached to the modes in the negative. Right? Because they feel, I'll only be happy when I'm not attached to the modes. Right? So it's still about the modes. Like for the atheist, it's still about God. Right? You know, the agnostic doesn't even think about God. The atheist always thinks about God. So that's... Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states in his purport to verse 15, the mind of the jivas binds him up by bad association and liberates him by good association. That is explained here. The method of bondage is mentioned. Attachment to the gunas, which create bondage, produces bondage for the jiva. Attachment or rati to the Lord, who is without material gunas, the destroyer of the bondage of gunas, produces liberation. Because we're attached to that which is bound by the modes. So naturally, if you're attached to that which is not bound by the modes, you're not bound by the modes. Right? So I'm attached to the material energy. It's controlled by the modes, so I'm controlled by the modes. I'm attached to Krishna, who's not controlled by the modes. I'm not controlled by the modes. It's logical. Does that make sense? So we see here is that middle stage is not as important. So even when we use the spiritual aspect, we're using it in connection with devotional service to the Lord. So in other words, our detachment from the material modes is not on its own. It's always in connection with devotional service. So therefore, our path and the path of the impersonalists is the same up to liberation. But because we're doing it in devotional service, it's so much easier. While they're doing it not in connection with devotional service, it's very, very difficult. Right? In verse 13, the Lord has said that perfect yoga enables one to transcend the platform of material distress and happiness. How this can be done is explained in the next three verses, 16 through 18. One has to purify his mind and consciousness. This can be done by bhakti yoga system. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in verses 16 through 18, Lord Kapila explains that jnana and yoga only assist bhakti in giving liberation. So it's not that they themselves are making a primary effort. They are in a secondary position. Does that make sense? So they're only assistants to it. Quote, when one is completely cleansed of the impurities of lust and greed, and produced from the false identification of the body as I and bodily possession as mine. Mind, one's mind becomes purified. So therefore, lust and greed come from I and mine. In the pure state, he transcends the stage of so-called material happiness and distress. At this time, so-called happiness and distress, because it's not real happiness and distress, because it's not connected with the soul. We identify with it, therefore we're happy, we're distressed. At this time, the soul can see himself to be transcendental to material existence, self-effulgent and never fragmented. Right? So we're not separated from the Lord. You know, we're not, we are individual jivas, but we're not separate from the Lord. Right? Although very minute in size, by seeing everything in the right perspective, one becomes indifferent to material existence. And thus, the influence of material nature acts less powerfully upon him.
Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki,
yeah.
Sabadeva Bhaktivinoda ki,
yeah.
Jainatai Gaurakti.